The Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
The president was in Elkhart, Indiana today, which I saw on CNN. They said it's the first time he's been in Indiana in 7 years. Which is really weird. Where does he get his cigarettes now?
Is that where he went? Nice one, Ro.
Don't you think? Don't you think he was out?
That's what he remembers.
Yep. I'm take the girls. We're going to get cheaper gas in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Right on the sky. Right. I mean, you know, he lived in Hyde Park.
It was a long journey. You're right. It would have been to jump on the Skyway and get over there and get your cheap gas.
10 minutes. Not even. Cheap gas and cigarettes. Nope. I'm not getting cigarettes. Going to Crazy Kaplan's. We're going to get some fireworks.
He didn't mention that in a speech today. He mentioned about how that economy has rebounded in a nice way during his presidency, taking a victory lap. And
sometimes I just don't get it. How it is that somebody could propose that we weaken regulations on Wall Street? Have we really forgotten what just happened 8 years ago? The primary story that Republicans have been telling about the economy is not supported by the facts.
What is interesting, though, there were a lot of people, and this is one of those moments, and I had to say that I deeply divided. It was deeply divided from what a lot of the thought was in 2008, which was let them fail. Like, let the auto industry fail, mm-hmm. let and at Elkhart, obviously, there's a lot of
related businesses.
Correct.
The economy is very much reliant upon those types of businesses.
Things on wheels, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's what Elkhart's all about. And whether it's the, you know, people making the seats or the radios or the, you know, the stuff that goes into your car that you never even think about. And all of those, it wasn't just like letting GM fail. It was about letting the everything, all of the supply side, supply chain guys fail too. And I was very, very relieved when cooler heads prevailed and said, no, let's not do that. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
But it was hard. It was the hard argument was that for so long the big banks had said, stay out of our business, let the free economy run, just stay out, government stay back and everything, you know, let the free economy just sort of run the way things go. And then when they've gotten into trouble because of things they did to themselves, they raised their hand and said, no, government, get involved. So it was so complicated to say, okay, how do you make sure that these guys learn the lesson of what happened in the past?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's completely, completely right. And in terms of the banks, and the banks did, though. I mean, how many of those guys lost their jobs? Now, nobody went to jail. Some people, or one guy went to jail, right? But there should have been more
really,
people probably.
Very few, yeah, white-collar perp walks as a result of what happened there.
Right.
And very few who went to jail. It just, that's the part, I think, that bothers so many people.
But if you stop and you think about
it. And they've recovered nicely, whereas the rest of America has not recovered at that rate. And that was the story in Elkhart, actually. The most critical of the press, the statements that they made about the president being there, PBS was one of them. They said that even as jobs came back to that town, the average take-home pay in Elkhart-Goshen area dropped 22% within about 10 years. So, yes, some of the jobs came back, but the recovery, they didn't recover at the rate of those Wall Street bankers and the others you mentioned, the businesses that they
right. Stagnant wages saved. Because the money tends to be floating at the top now as opposed to working its way through the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that unfortunately is true. Now, I will say, though, that when you think about that period of time, you think about if they would let GM go, and you see what an amazing rebound American cars have had in the last,
right.
You know, I mean, led by
it's been wonderful.
Initially by Ford and then GM, and Chrysler has done, even though Chrysler's kind of an international company now, it is, you know, the American auto manufacturers have done, you know, they're putting out really good product, and you're just grateful the people who work in those industries, whether it's Ford or GM,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, Chrysler, Jeep, that stuff is there, you know, and so.
And that they're being made here in America in a lot of cases.
Mostly, right?
Some of it.
Certainly
right?
All sold here.
It didn't continue the trend of going overseas.
Checking in at
number 4.
Bernie.
The battle for California intensifies. Hillary Clinton begins a five-day swing through the Golden State. Bernie Sanders crisscrosses. Bernie was in Santa Cruz backing a state ballot that would change drug laws.
If I lived in California, I would vote for that item to legalize marijuana. If you want to defeat Donald Trump, if you want to work with a vibrant, energetic grassroots movement, we are the campaign to do that.
Did you see what I did there? I worked the word grass in while I was talking about marijuana.
Going into that speech, he was 2 points behind Clinton. I think now they should poll again. Might have changed things.
I am all for having you high as hell come November.
Yes. Now he's gone up even higher. Higher.
There will also be a nacho cheese Doritos rebate available from the government starting January 1.
Talk about appealing to your audience. Yeah. Hey, that worked well for him.
You will get a tax rebate for living in your parents' bedroom, Kevin Powell.
Got my vote.
I hope he doesn't live in their bedroom.
Whatever. I'm an old man. I'm sometimes confused. I think I meant basement.
There you go. Feel the burn. Feel the burn.
Everyone would feel the burn then.
That's true. You know, Janice, what's my wife's name again?
His wife, oh gosh. Jane.
Jane, and very high now from being in California. Jane and I used to toke up on the doobies back in the day.
Ripping doobs.
In Vermont? You think that happened?
Yeah, do I think that happened? We were always attending Woodstock-like concerts and getting very high on the skeech.
The skeets.
Who uses that?
Was he on the make too?
I was a young man once, Kevin, on the make.
Looking for skeets.
Looking for some righteous bow.
Oh gosh. Oh. That's the thing about Bernie. He doesn't try to be cool. I think that's more appealing.
No, there is no cool in me.
Mm-hmm.
The hipsters love Bernie.
Mm,
they do.
So true.
They do, right? Because they think Bernie's ironic.
Because he's like, exactly, and he's like the anti-cool.
Right.
So they roll with it.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting that every year, I mean, this year, everybody's voting for a TV character.
Right.
They're not voting for a politician. Right. Oh, that was the lady who was on TV before. That's when they look at Hillary. I remember her. She was something,
which
right?
Which reality show again?
She was on that one where the president had an affair with the intern. And then you got there's a guy for The Apprentice. I like him.
Yeah, we liked him.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, wasn't that guy in Law & Order? He was a judge, wasn't he? No, I was not. All right, Violetta, would you like to take this away here for just a moment? Then we'll come back. We'll do your three, your two, and your one.
Sounds good with me.
Top five continues right here on The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis and checking in at...
Number three.
In Seattle, a burlesque dancer says she wasn't allowed to fly from Boston back home to Seattle because of what she was wearing. Maggie McMuffin.
Did you see what she was wearing?
Her name is Maggie McMuffin.
I know. And she's a burlesque dancer.
She on the dollar menu?
Everything goes back to food for Kevin.
Yeah. She was wearing a sweater, shorts, and thigh-high socks.
It wasn't shorts. Did you see them? They look like granny panties. I mean, they were. There was no bottom to them. They were like, they stopped at her rear.
But she was not allowed on the JetBlue flight until she covered up. Have you been on JetBlue?
I didn't know that they had a dress code.
She flew into Boston wearing the same outfit with no problems. Maggie believes the decision is connected to body shaming and misogyny.
My problem with this is that it's entirely subjective. And when we start to make women's bodies subjective, we get into a lot of really shaky areas as a society. And I feel that this is just a small indicator of that.
I agree. I didn't know there really was a dress code for getting on flights. And she said for the first flight, it was okay. And then the second flight, it wasn't. Like she was two legs to her journey. And then suddenly they're like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, no, there were two more than two. It was exactly two legs to her journey.
Yes. Yeah. And then they sent her to go get her... She had to go to, like, the little shop or something in the terminal and go and buy, like, pajamas or something.
Make muffin legs matter. That's I would like to start a hashtag. All right. Check in and at
number two.
When you think of the 80s, you think of Top Gun. At least I do. Tom Cruise, Action Romance, celebrated its 30th anniversary a couple of weeks ago. Now today, Kenny Loggins, the only artist who had two songs go multi-platinum on the Top Gun soundtrack, talks about why the movie is still such a touchstone.
Well, it was groundbreaking at the time. It was the best aerial footage that had ever been shot. And I think that made a big difference in the way military movies are filmed and presented. And then, of course, it was a breakthrough movie for Tom Cruise. And that's probably one of the main reasons it's still around.
Yeah. Kenny, how'd you come up with that?
Very deep.
Yeah, that was really something.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kenny.
I think it was a movie for everybody, right? It wasn't just, it's considered by some to be the most homoerotic film ever made.
But you're right. Women loved it. Men loved it. There was action. There was romance. It was
right.
A great formula. It worked. It was amazing cinematography if you think about shooting planes as they're moving.
It was the first. Yeah, that's true. And it was done, you know, not totally green screeny, but it was there were some goofy moments in it,
mm-hmm.
where they're upside down and they're still not upside down.
Still a great beach volleyball scene.
But that's the point. I think the reason it was the first crossover movie for the gay and straight audience.
Well, true.
So guys are like watching it. Real guys are like, hey, look at that. Oh, hey, he never did. Maybe why don't we ever go and play beach volleyball? And then gay guys are like, oh, this is great. And then lesbian women, same thing. Oh, look, Kelly McGillis. I'm hot for her.
Yeah.
And guys were like, hey, I'm hot for Kelly McGillis. So they found out that she's a lesbian. I think that was the key to that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. See how that worked
out? Both beautiful people, Tom Cruise and her, and good actors.
Never look at beach volleyball the same way again.
No, you don't. No. And it's hard to duplicate that. Guys who take off their shirts on North Avenue, they're always going to be compared to that.
Did you ever notice, though? I mean, come on. Come on. There's a scene where they're getting mad at each other in a shower, in a steaming shower, wearing...
I gotta go back and rewatch it. I don't remember all that stuff.
Terry cloth bathrobes. I grew up in a military family. I know what it's like to be in a military facility and taking a shower. It is not... They don't have bath towels like that in military facilities. That's not what that looks like. These guys are like they have paper towels.
Anyway. It's the movies.
All right.
That's how they do things.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. All right, checking in at
number one.
Megan Fox is knocked up.
She already has two babies, so this will be the third.
She appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live and shared the little tidbits about her third pregnancy. Kimmel wanted to know why she didn't tell him during her appearance on the show in February.
Last time you were here was only a couple months ago. You were not pregnant at all. Then, boom, baby came right into your stomach.
There's a human growing in there. I was definitely pregnant. I was already in my second trimester. I just had on, like, 3 pairs of Spanx, and we were really... harnessing that in.
So the baby's like, my God, get
cozy,
off.
Cozy, warm.
Yeah,
totally safe.
Do you feel in a way like you lied to me by coming out here pregnant and not indicating it in any way?
I mean, do you feel like I owe you that sort of intimate information?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to be vice president, you know. I need to know this kind of stuff.
I didn't. Yeah. Who's your president?
I don't need one. I don't have one.
What a weird conversation. But you came here before and you weren't pregnant, and then boom, you were.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. Why aren't you telling me? All right. So that was awkward. So that's why you played it.
The top five at five.